This is Mayo Clinic Radio, the only show that gives you the chance to ask your questions to Mayo Clinic experts. We'll take you beyond the headlines to explain what developments in medicine mean to you. Join the conversation by phone, Twitter, Facebook, or radio.mayoclinic.org. Now, with this week's program, here are your hosts, Dr. Tom Shives and Tracy McRae.
From the Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota campus, welcome everyone to Mayo Clinic Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network. Tracy, hello.
Good morning.
Good to see you as always.
Good to be here.
Guess who's in studio?
<It's>
Dr.
Our man,
Pratish,
yes.
Dosh. You know, we've heard so much about the flu this past week, and I want to start with asking you about how early this started. Isn't this a little bit earlier than it usually comes on?
And good morning.
Well, good morning to you guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, this season has been earlier than we've seen it in previous years. In southeast Minnesota and Rochester, really, we saw high activity starting even 3 weeks ago.
And across the state, is the whole state of Minnesota in that boat?
Yes. It looks like that southeast Minnesota really started it, if mm-hmm. you will. And then within a week, it started to be seen elsewhere throughout the state.
And
now it's considered widespread within Minnesota and other states. Now 14 states in the United States are considered to have widespread influenza activity.
You know, the flu is one thing, but there have been people who have died of the flu, even young people in the state of Minnesota.
It is. I think most people think about just getting the flu and
right.
sort of being in bed for
not a big
a
deal.
Right. But we forget that tens of thousands of Americans each year are going to die from influenza. Last year was a fairly mild season. In Minnesota, we did not have any pediatric deaths. But this year already, I mm-hmm. think we've seen two that I'm aware of.
Right.
And so there's several reasons that this season may be a little bit more severe than previous seasons.
Can we talk about, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the other question is about the efficacy of the vaccine. We have heard that maybe you guys didn't guess very well this year about strains of flu.
Personally. I did not sign off on that report.
You were flipping coins.
Well, first explain how we figure out what is going to be the vaccine this year versus last year versus the year before.
Sure. And so there's constant surveillance throughout the world for different influenza strains, and the virus is constantly mutating, and so
changing.
It's constantly constantly changing. Unfortunately, it takes months to grow the vaccine virus so that you can actually get a vaccine mm-hmm. ready. So it takes months. So you got to predict several months ahead of time what you think is likely going to be the circulating strain. And usually we're pretty good just by...
Last year it was really good.
It was very, very good.
But this year not so much.
This year, early on, it was sort of a 50-50. There's two different strains that were sort of emerging up front, one of which was contained in the vaccine and the other which was not as closely related to what was in the vaccine. And it turns out that it's that latter vaccine, the latter virus, the one that's not contained in the vaccine, that seems to be predominating.
And how many strains of flu are there? I mean, how many do you have to think about and guess from, choose from, pick from?
Well, the number of strains is innumerable.
How many stars are in the sky?
Right, right.
Be a little more poetic about it.
Many different ways to say it, but the crux of this is there's a whole lot, and so it is difficult to really predict with great accuracy. And the fact that public health authorities have done it very well over the last 20, 30 years is actually a testament to how good they are. Every once in a while, a new one sneaks up on us.
I was having coffee with some girlfriends this week. There's three of us sitting at the table. Two of them, I won't tell you which ones, not me, are just deathly afraid of needles. One of them goes with the mist. The other one doesn't even get a flu shot because you can't even bear needles. And I think it's interesting that even for adults, needles are a big reason why people don't get a flu shot. So let's talk about the flu mist.
Sure. So it's a nasal live vaccine, and so versus the injectable needled vaccine. And both options are available. Live vaccine, the nasal, the mist, seems to actually have better efficacy in children. But for people who can't, for adults who cannot get, do not want to get the needle, it gives them another option.
And for kids, you use it in kids too, don't you? So they don't have to put up with a needle?
Well, there's the reason they may not like the needle either, but there's some data that would suggest that the miss is actually preferred as a better vaccine than the needle for children.
All right. Story in USA Today. I mean, we want to hear it right from the horse's mouth. Greater than 50% of people in this country think that you can get the flu from the vaccine.
Yeah, that's certainly not true.
No way, right?
Part of it is that the way that the vaccine is made, we just take a piece of sort of the presenting part of the virus and it's inactivated. We injected it into people. It's like saying that you're going to take the headlights from your car and the steering wheel apart and give it to somebody, and it's going to take them to the mall. it's really impossible to get influenza from the flu vaccine.
But there are many people who will swear up and down that they got the flu after they had the flu vaccine. So why is that?
Sure. So we give the flu vaccine in the fall.
In the fall during flu season.
Well, during cold season. So there's a lot of respiratory viruses that are circulating. And at any one time, if you look at any kids, how many of them have stuffy noses and things like that. And so you can see there's a lot of viruses that are going around. So your chances of getting a cold at any one time in the fall is pretty good, and your chances of getting a cold right after the flu shot is the same. And so people often will correlate the cold virus that they just got with actually getting influenza.
Another story this week was about the efficacy of Tamiflu, and that some doctors were saying that it doesn't work. What's the latest word on Tamiflu?
So oseltamivir, being the sort of the generic name of this, has been studied, and we know a few things. First, if you give it in young, healthy people who get the influenza, you can take down the duration of illness, but that's not really where it's useful. The real use is when you use it in people with severe illness who are at higher risk. And the data coming from the 2009 influenza pandemic would show that if you give it to people who are at higher risk or having severe disease, you can improve outcomes.
It's expensive. And I guess the other question is, do you have to give it early on? I mean, if you've had symptoms for 2 or 3 days, it doesn't help. Is that correct?
The big thing here that I'd like to people come home with is that the use of it, the more antivirals we use, we can also develop antiviral resistance. And so we need to be very cautious about how we use these antivirals. For people who would normally do very well with influenza, they actually should not be getting antiviral medications, even if they're in that first 24-48-hour window, just because they're going to get better on their own. And to make sure these drugs are available for people who are at high risk, pregnant women or young people who are immunocompromised, for the medicine to be able to work for them, we need to be really judicious in how we use these antivirals.
Yeah. Tough it out or Tamiflu?
Let's talk about the difference between a cold and the flu, because like you said, it is that season.
Right.
And I think now everybody's starting to get nervous about getting the flu, since that's what's all over the news. How can you tell the difference between cold and flu?
In general, now we can look at within a population. If you have a city that's having an outbreak of cold, you're not going to have many hospitalizations and almost certainly no deaths. But if you have an outbreak of influenza, that'll be very different within a large population. You may see some deaths, certainly some hospitalizations. But within a single person, if somebody is otherwise healthy, normal immune system, they may have a very mild influenza case, but they also may have those severe fevers and cough and things like that, which we normally would associate with influenza that you wouldn't normally see with the cold virus. Mm-hmm.
So to me, I just say you feel terrible either way. Just stay home either way.
Yeah, you tend to feel worse with influenza.
Wash your hands a lot.
That's a big thing, yeah.
Dr. Pratish Tosh, thanks so much for stopping by the studio. I've heard a great update on the flu. Infectious disease expert, flu expert, Dr. Pratish Tosh.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.